what you want to do is surround yourself with the right people so you can grow that network, make the connections, and they will pull you up. If you surround yourself with people that are achieving what you want to achieve one day, they will pull you along with them.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back to my listeners and welcome new listeners. This is part four of a six-part series. So if this is your first time here, I would strongly recommend going back to part one. This is all about financial freedom and six ways you can set up your life to achieve that based on my research on successful people who have clearly obtained financial freedom and also just my experience with those that have as well. But before we get into it, I just want to read a review someone wrote on Apple Podcasts. Again, if you're getting any value out of these podcasts, I would really appreciate if you'd go on there, leave a rating and review. That's how this podcast gets ranked. That's how it gets to more eyes and ears. That'd be very much appreciated. But let's get into this review by David Morrison. Excellent podcast. It's titled Conversations with Successful Real Estate Investors Doing Cool Things in the Real Estate Space Are Fascinating. Loving the six-part series too. Can't wait for the upcoming episodes. Well, thank you very much, David. That is greatly appreciated. And I'm loving this six-part series as well. I always get fascinated on, you know, how I can improve my life, both from obviously a financial perspective, because that's what this podcast is about, but just how to be a better person. And I realize that comes down to being able to have the resources of time and money. And I'm not saying everything is about money, but it makes stuff a lot easier and allows you to give back and be a better person. When those two valuable resources aren't available, we're not able to do great things for the world. We're not able to share our time, share our money. And I think it's just important to get those two things checked. So let's just get into part four of this six-part series. And as this part has a lot to do with money, and that is why debt is good. All things debt. There's a lot of financial gurus out there. I'm thinking of the Dave Ramseys of the world that say debt is bad. Don't have debt. If you have debt, do everything in your power to pay it off as quickly as possible. And I couldn't disagree more. Yes, there are circumstances where you do want to pay off debt as quickly as possible. And that's what I call dumb debt. That's things like credit card debt, consumer debt, you know, things you're paying that buying that you don't really need that are, again, liabilities, not assets. And when it comes to credit card debt, you're paying 20% or sometimes even over 25%. That's just dumb. Why do that? You're literally burning cash and just digging your own grave. So if that's the case, I do agree with Dave Ramsey on that. And I do think he has a great program on how to pay off that type of debt. But in terms of debt that can help you build true wealth and achieve financial freedom, that's smart debt. And you should not be told not to use that type of debt. For whatever reason, we've been trained to take debt for things like school, going to college, car, buying a house. And then we're trained to pay it off as quickly as possible. But what happens when you do that? There are some things where you should pay it off as possible. Like I said, credit card debt. But if you're looking at college education or a home, and especially with where rates are today, where I call it like free money, where you can be sub 3% interest rate on your mortgage, if you just pay that off as quickly as possible, then what are you left with? A paid off asset. But what are you going to do with that? Are you going to then sell it and move? Or most people would just feel they're just going to stay there, live there. Well, now you have all this equity in your house, paid it off. Now, where's that cash now? That cash was given to the bank. They made their money. They're good. Now they're going to take that money and go lend it out again and make more money. And all you're doing is you just have that comfort blanket of, I have no debt. But what else do you have? You have nothing. Yeah, you have the house, but that's not an asset until you go sell it. And especially in today's market, if you sell it, where are you going to go? I just think it, for instance, buying a house, I think it just, if it's not done properly, it can set you up to fail. You just pay that debt down and then where are you? So let's get into like why leverage and debt is powerful, how it can help you grow your wealth and achieve financial freedom. First, I just want to give a quick definition of leverage, and that is using a lever to exert force on another object. So in this instance, the force you're leveraging is other people's money so you can acquire more. Now, you might ask me, Sean, but like, why wouldn't I pay off my mortgage, paying interest on it? The faster I can pay it off, the better I am. Yes, but with interest so low right now, you can take that extra money you would put towards your mortgage and go invest it and make a higher interest rate, which is known as a spread. So say your interest rate on your mortgage right now is 3%. You can go invest it in something. And let's say you're a conservative and you make 7%. The difference between the two is 4%. That's the leverage. So you take that 3% of the 7% and to take care of your mortgage, right? And then the difference is what you get to keep, all while that underlying asset is growing. So for instance, if I was to buy an asset paid, say 10%, covers my other debts that pay significantly less interest rate, I'm able to pay off those debts from that asset and make more money on top of it, all while that underlying asset, let's say real estate, because that's what I do, is growing over time. And I get to increase the rent over the years. One, because interest is increasing, inflation is increasing, the cost of living is going up, keeping up with market, demand, supply. So in the long run, I'm going to be making even more. My interest rate or return is growing. So then the spread between what I am making from that investment and my fixed interest rate on my debt is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's just more powerful to grow wealth. I'm still taking care of that debt. But my income's growing. My return's growing. The underlying asset is growing. And that's what's so powerful. Now, there's different types of leverage. That is financial. And that's what this podcast is about, but there's others as well. So there's operating leverage, and this is more towards like a business. So operating leverage occurs when your operating expenses are fixed, but your revenues or profits are growing. You look at here to kind of calculate operating leverage is you divide your fixed costs by your variable costs. So high operating leverage, it means you lose more money overall when revenue decreases. So you want that to be in check. And that's just operating leverage. You want to know the relationship between your fixed and variable costs. The most prominent variable cost is when you sell more, your costs go up. If you ever read the book Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, founder of Nike, phenomenal book, by the way. But that's what his whole dilemma is for the majority of the book, is that he is one using leverage in the form of credit line from banks to grow Nike, to be able to sell more shoes, to be able to market more, to distribute more. And that's just a constant struggle that he's trying to keep that operating leverage in check, because he needs that credit line to then go produce more shoes, to sell more shoes. And it's a constant battle. And yeah, there's risk there, of course, but there's always going to be a risk if you want to create something massive like Nike. But without that leverage, he would never have been able to grow Nike to where it is today. He had to use other people's money to be able to manufacture those shoes, get those shoes here, distribute those shoes. It just shows how powerful leverage can be. Now, the next type of leverage is time leverage. And obviously, I've said this before, time is the scarcest resource on the planet. It's limited for all of us. We're all going to be gone one day. And a big part of financial freedom is being able to have time to do what you want, when you want, with who you want. And so you need to learn how to leverage that time. And a great way to do that is what I do. And I use virtual assistants, or VAs for short. And I just delegate tasks. And then I have a business partner delegate tasks to him. So I have more time to focus on the things that I want. That's not saying that I'm going off and screwing around and not focusing on the business, but I'm able to focus my time, things I'm good at, things that really move the needle in my business, and kind of the minutiae, the details, I leverage other people, the VAs, to take care of that. And the last is just personal leverage. And this has to do with the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So what you want to do is surround yourself with the right people so you can grow that network, make the connections, and they will pull you up. If you surround yourself with people that are achieving what you want to achieve one day, they will pull you along with them. So those are just some examples of leverage, but obviously the show is about financial leverage. And so that's what this part of the series is really about. Yes, there's bad debt. Don't get yourself in credit card debt paying 20, 25, 28%. That's just going to get you in a hole that's going to be very hard to get out of. But don't be scared of using the right kind of debt. For me, it's using debt to build my business and to acquire real estate. So for my business, it's taking a line of credit so then I can go expand my business to get to more customers, more investors, sell more of the product. And then for the real estate, it's to acquire more real estate. Like, where else can you buy $1 million worth of something for $200,000 and get favorable terms over a long period of time? It's crazy. So I take $200,000, buy $1 million property. Let's say I bring another $100,000. So I'm $300,000 in. The $100,000 is going to create forced appreciation. This is what we talked about on Monday's episode. So we're going to come in, we're going to improve that property. Say in a couple of years from that $100,000 capital improvement and from just natural appreciation, let's say that property is now worth $1.5 million. Well, I go sell that property, $500,000 in profit, minus out the $100,000 that I put into it. So we're at $400,000 plus the $200,000 originally put into it. Now we're at $600,000 that I can take in the profit. Now I can do something called the 1031 exchange where I can roll it into the next property tax deferred. So I'm not paying any tax today. And so now you have $600,000. I can go buy $3 million property now, and I can do the process over again. I can take that $3 million. Now I can take that $3 million property, bring some more capital improvement money in, improve that property and do that 1031 again, maybe go into a $4.5 million property and so on and so forth. And then one day you wake up and you have $50 million worth of real estate that say spits off 10% and you're financially free. Obviously that takes time. Real estate is not a get rich overnight kind of business. It's a get extremely wealthy over a long period of time business. And that's the type of business I want to be in. And that's the power of leverage. You're using other people's money, in this case, the bank, which underlying is our money because we go deposit our money at the bank. They take the money and then they go lend it to make more money on your money. Why not get in on that game instead of focusing on paying down your mortgage as soon as possible, paying some other debts down as soon as possible, maybe your student loan, maybe your car. You can then go take that money and go use the bank's leverage to go buy something else that then spits off a return that's greater than the interest you're paying on your other debts. Thereby, you're able to pay off those debts still and make premium, make the spread, make more money. And then the underlying assets appreciates. That's how people grow wealth. It's not by paying off their debt as quickly as possible. And then whatever they have left over, maybe thrown it in the stock market and hoping they're going to get to that quote unquote nest egg number that they've come up with. That's not how people achieve financial freedom. And there's other levels to using debt, which there was an article that came out a few months ago that was talked about the wealthy using debt to pay their everyday living expenses because interest rates are so low that they could get either personal loan or business loan, their strong business credit. But let's just say it's a personal loan that they get for a really low interest rate, 3, sub 3, because of their credit profile, their underlying assets. Let's say they're able to get $100,000 personal loan paying 2.5%. They go take that money and they pay for their life. Maybe they go buy a new boat for their lake house. Maybe they're just going out to dinner, going on trips. And the reason they do that is because the debt is so cheap that their assets they have, the spread between the return they're making on that and then that 2.5% on that loan is so large that it makes more financial sense to do that than to take $100,000 out of their own wallet, their own bank account, and just spend it on life. Because then what do you get? Nothing. There goes $100,000. Instead, they took their $100,000, they invested in something that made a return greater than that 2.5%. And then they went and borrowed that $100,000 for 2.5. That's what grows your wealth because they're not losing any money. Yes, they're paying 2.5%, but the return they're making on the asset they invested in instead is making more than 2.5%. And I can guarantee it's making a lot more than 2.5%. So they're actually making money, still funding their lifestyle with someone else's money. That's powerful. That's what I want people to do. Like I said at the beginning, it's not about the money. It's about having the freedom to do what you want. And I know there's great people in this world. So if we all had that time and financial freedom, I know we'd do great things for this planet, for this world, for the people on this planet. That's what I want to do. I want the financial freedom. So yes, I can take care of myself and my family, but more importantly, to give back and just make the world a better place. And so obviously, two edges to every sword. There's two sides to every coin. And you have to be careful when you're doing this. I'm not here saying people should overleverage themselves. No way. That last scenario I told you about taking the personal loan, these people are not overleveraging themselves. They're still being smart. There's a ratio of the amount of debt you should take. What's a good leverage ratio? And usually businesses run on 0.5 or less. And I think that's a good starting place. I would probably taper back a little more, maybe 0.4 to 0.35 for personal. By that, I mean that when you get to greater than one, it just means you have more liabilities than assets and you never want to be in that situation. So at 0.5, that just means you have half amount of liabilities to your assets and then so on and so forth. So I would say 0.35 to 0.4 is kind of a good threshold to be for people. It all depends on your risk tolerance as well. Some people could be more than happy at 0.5 or maybe even a little more. But to me, I don't think that's smart just because you never know where the market's going to go or interest rates are going to go. So I think that's just a good threshold to be at. But don't be scared of debt, of the right debt that is. It can do powerful things for you and your family. And I would urge you to take a look into it, get more comfortable with it. Only going to do great things for you. And it's one of the major ways a lot of successful people achieve financial freedom. Again, they're using leverage, other people's money, to grow their wealth so then they can have more time to do the things that they love. And that's what I'm here for. I just want to give everyone the tools that a select few know so that you can go out, use those tools, and create a better life for your family and yourself. So I hope you got some value out of this episode. I'm going to have more episodes like this in the future when it comes to debt. For instance, there's going to be one, how to pay off your student loan quicker. Obviously, that's after you've invested into an asset, but there's some tricks you can use and actually involves debt, how you can pay off your student loan faster. And it's a smart way to do it. It's a safe way to do it. And so, yeah, we'll get into that a few episodes from now because we still have two more parts after this one. But yeah, again, if you have found any value in this, please leave me a rating and review. It would mean a lot. But hey, you can achieve financial freedom. You just got to set your mind to it. Be diligent, be disciplined, and you can achieve whatever you set your mind to. All right, everyone, have a good one, and I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.